Chapter 2. She was collected by the official leader of this particular dense excursion at Charing Cross the next morning, and swept into a second-class carriage with 9 other excursionists, and next door there were more. She counted 18 of them at one time, crowding round the leader, asking him questions. And besides these, there was a crowd of ordinary passengers bustling about with holiday expressions, and several runaway couples, and every single person seemed, like herself, eager to be off. The runaway couples, from the ravaged expressions on their faces, were being torn by doubts, perhaps already by repentances. But Ingeborg, though she was deceiving her father, who, being a bishop, should have been peculiarly inviolate, and her mother, who, being sofa-ridden, should have appealed to her better nature, and her sister, who, being exquisite, should have been guarded from any shadow that might dim her beauty, had none. She had been frightened that morning, while she was packing and getting herself out of her aunt's house. The immense conviction of the servants that she was going home cowed her, and she had had to say little things. Paddington, for instance, to the taxi driver, when she knew she meant Charing Cross, and had blushed when she changed it through the window. But here she was, and there was a crowd of people doing exactly the same thing, whose secure jollity, except in the case of those odd, sad couples, was contagious. And she felt both safe and as though she were the most normal creature in the world. What fun, she thought, her blood dancing as she watched the swarming, surging platform. What fun! Often she had been at the Redchester station in attendance on her departing father, but what a getting off was that compared with this hilarity. There was bustle, of course, because trains won't wait and people won't get out of the way. But the bishop's bustlings, particularly when their end was confirmations, were conducted with a kind of frozen offendedness. There was no life in him, she thought, remembering them. He didn't let himself go. On the other hand, she reflected, careful to be fair, you couldn't snatch illicitly at things like confirmations in the way you could at a dense tour, and devour them in secret with a fearful hidden joy. She felt like a bulb must feel, she thought, at the supreme moment when it has nosed its little spear successfully up through the mould it has endured all the winter, and gets it suddenly out into the light and splendour of the world. The freedom of it, the joy of getting clear. The excursionists in the carriage struggled to reach the window across her feet and say things to their friends outside. They all talked at once, and the carriage was full of sound and gesticulations. The friends on the platform could not hear, but they nodded and smiled sympathetically and shouted at intervals that it was going to be a good crossing. Everybody was being seen off, except herself and the runaway couples. Indeed, you could know which those were by the gaps along the platform. She sat well back in her place, anxious to make herself as convenient as possible and to get her feet tucked out of the way. A typical daughter of provincial England, and a careful home and the more expensive clergy, well-dressed, inconspicuous, and grey. Her soft mouse-colour hat, as the fashion that spring still went on decreeing in the West, came down well over her eyes and ears, and little rings of cheerful hair of a Scandinavian colouring wantoned beneath it. Her small face was swallowed up in the shadow of the hat. You saw a liberal mouth with happy corners, and the nostrils of a selective nose, and there was an impression of freckles, and of a very fair, sunny sort of skin. The square German gentleman opposite her, knowing nobody in London, and therefore being, but for a different and honourable reason, in her position of not having anyone to see him off, filled up the time by staring. Entirely unconscious that it might be embarrassing, he sat and stared. With the utmost singleness of mind, he wished to see the rest of her, when he would be able to determine whether she were pretty or not. Ingeborg, absorbed by the wild excitement